that you mentioned, corrupt governments. And we're looking today at Belshazzar in the kingdom of Babylon. And we're noticing how God is at work in Babylon. And he is at work not just with the Jews in Babylon. He's at work with the Gentiles in Babylon as well. And so just as a bit of an intro. Anyway, the title of the sermon today is An Apple Never Falls Far Enough from the Tree to Be Anything Different than an Apple. So bloodlines mean the same thing over and over and over. Maybe different personality traits and things, but basically the same thing over and over. There needs to be a huge change. And so Belshazzar has come down through this line of Babylonian heritage. So Nebuchadnezzar then, at the end of chapter 4, king of Babylon, has died, 562 B.C. His son, Evil-Merodach, succeeded him and reigned for 2 years. He was murdered by Nergal-Shazzar, his brother-in-law, who succeeded him. Interesting. Nergal-Shazzar married a daughter of Nebuchadnezzar. That's how it works. You want to be married into the family, hopefully for some favor and safety, not when human nature's prevalent. It doesn't work that way. He was succeeded by his son, who at that time was a mere boy, who was murdered after a reign of 9 months. This is all going on between chapter 4 and chapter 5. And he was murdered by a conspiracy of nobles, I use that word loosely, one of whom, Nabonidus, there you go, ascended the vacant throne. Belshazzar was supposed by some to have been this same Nabonidus. In reality, he was the son of Nabonidus and co-reigned with him. This is why in Daniel chapter 5:16 and 5:7 as well, Belshazzar could only offer Daniel the position of third ruler in Babylon if he'd solved what the writing was on the wall, because his father, Nabonidus, was the ruler. He was the first ruler, Belshazzar the second ruler, so the only position left was third ruler. And so that's how the whole system was. So Belshazzar is referred to as Nebuchadnezzar's son in Daniel chapter 5, verse 11, verse 18, and verse 22. Because he had also married one of his daughters. And the Jews had only one word to represent the genealogical head of a family, and that's father. This can be seen in the New Testament when Jesus said to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, "And do not think to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father,'" because that's what they said. They called Abraham their father. They were 1,600 years removed from Abraham. But nonetheless, that was the bloodline. So that's why Belshazzar is referred to as the son of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was his father, as it were, but not through marriage or family, distant family. Anyway, this is seen, pardon me. So why is none of this mentioned here in the book of Daniel? I wonder, why wouldn't it be there? These names are mentioned. They'll come up on the board. They're on your sheet. But why was it not mentioned? And it struck me, because although it is interesting, it's not particularly relevant to the story. Well, what do you mean it's important? No, it's interesting. This is what's important. The most relevant thing, the most important thing, and I would dare to say the most important thing to God in Daniel chapter 4 and 5, is each king's response to him and what effect that has on those witnessing the event and those of us reading the story today. That's the most important thing. Don't get stuck on the details. God wants us to pay attention to the story because people here are making choices. And God is working in their choices, and they're reaping consequences for their choices on both sides, good and bad. We need to remember that. It isn't that God makes this person so they have to be this. God, who is omniscient, all-knowing, and omnipotent everywhere in time and space, knows the decision a person's going to make before they even know they have a choice. And then he works in that to bring glory to himself and to present himself more obviously to the earth and everybody in it. And so this is a profound example here of how God works in our lives. It's important to God. The following scriptures that you see up there, and they're in your paper, Merodach is mentioned in 2 Kings 25:27, Jeremiah 52, verse 31 and verse 34. Nergal-Shazzar is mentioned in Jeremiah 39:3 and verse 13. So these people were real, and they verify that these things had happened between those chapters. But again, it goes to what's really important. The Bible, although it records man's interaction with God in the past, present, and future, is not a history book, per se. God is only concerned with history as it relates to his story in our lives. Otherwise, it's just nations, it's just people. Yeah, I get it. Over and over and over and over again. And God is there in each generation. But what's the most important thing? Is that we can see what's important to God. That's the most important thing in life. It's not all the details in this information age that we live in, where we become, I'm convinced, educated beyond our intelligence, and we're all fussed about facts as though suddenly we've been well informed. And the most important thing are the things that God wants us to know about himself and ourselves. And In that order, before you ever know yourself, you'll have to meet God, because he's your maker. You'll never understand anything about yourself until you've met God. And even then, it's confusing. Daniel chapter 5, verses 1 to 31. Belshazzar the king made a great feast for 1,000 of his lords and drank wine in the presence of 1,000. While he tasted the wine, Belshazzar gave the command to bring the gold and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple which had been in Jerusalem, that the king and his lords, his wives, and his concubines might drink from them. Then they brought the gold vessels that had been taken from the temple of the house of God, which had been in Jerusalem, and the king and his lords, his wives, and his concubines drank from them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, bronze and iron, wood and stone. Wow, nasty. Not just him. 1,000 people. 1,000 people are important to God. Really important. And we'll see later, as Daniel's speaking to Belshazzar, that he knew what went on in Nebuchadnezzar's life. He had information according to what had happened and how God had worked. And still, he does this. So God decides this is going to be the end. The same hour, the fingers of a man's hand appeared and wrote opposite the lampstand on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance changed and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his hips were loosened and his knees knocked against each other. Another sign that he knew the right thing to do and he chose not to do it. Thought he could get away with it. I don't think God is who he says he is. Oh, that's just a story. That never actually happened to Nebuchadnezzar. The king cried aloud to bring the astrologers, the Chaldeans, the soothsayers. The king spoke, saying to the wise men of Babylon, "Whoever reads this writing and tells me its interpretation shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around his neck, and he shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Interesting. So he calls on the same people who couldn't help Nebuchadnezzar. You keep going to the same dry well. You keep going to the fountain of our own understanding that doesn't have any water. Now all the king's wise men came, and they could not read the writing or make known to the king its interpretation. Then King Belshazzar, not Belteshazzar, that's Daniel, he's coming up. That's the guy with the T, Babylonian name for Daniel. This is just Belshazzar. Then King Belshazzar was greatly troubled. His countenance was changed, and his lords were astonished. I guess so. The queen, most likely not his wife, most likely his mother, because they co-ruled. The queen, because of the words of the king and his lords, came to the banquet hall. The queen spoke, saying, O king, live forever. Do not let your thoughts trouble you or let your countenance change. There is a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy God, and in the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father the king, made him chief of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. So they call on Daniel when nothing else works. And we call on God when we've tried everything else. Wow. Instead of going there first. And so I just want to encourage you as a believer, don't expect any better reception than that in the world. The world doesn't like God, let alone love him. They want basically nothing to do with him because he's interrupting their darkness and what they like to do. And so when we present light into that, don't expect a warm reception. You're not going to get it. That's just the kind of place it is. Don't let that stop you from shining the light. The light. Jesus said, we are the light of the world. Yes. By what means? Jesus Christ. So continue to let him be himself in the world, regardless what people say of you for it. Inasmuch as an excellent spirit, knowledge, understanding, interpreting dreams, solving riddles, and explaining enigmas were found in this Daniel. No, they weren't. They were found in God, whom Daniel had given room to in his life to be himself. I was at Maria and I, when we moved to Alberta, there was people there that were going to this event, and we went to this event, and there was a fellow there that was, it was a Christian event, I was surprised by that, but a fellow was there showing us how to interpret dreams. What a bunch of hooey. Just a bunch of hooey. If God gives you the interpretation of the dream, God gave you the interpretation of the dream. When God gives you a gift, don't start celebrating the gift. Continue celebrating God, and the gift will continue to be glorifying to God. If you begin to celebrate the gift, then it's glorifying to you. So be careful in these things. It was God that gave these dreams to Daniel. Anyway, whom the king named Belteshazzar, there's the T. Now let Daniel be called, and he will give the interpretation. Then Daniel was brought in before the king. The king spoke and said to Daniel, are you that Daniel who is one of the captives from Judah, whom my father, the king, brought from Judah? He's disdaining this Jew in front of him. His only hope to live. And he's throwing mud on it. I have heard of you, that the Spirit of God is in you, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom are found in you. Yes, just for that reason, because God is there. God is there. God, maybe we get it wrong sometimes. God doesn't make us wise. God doesn't make us strong. God is our wisdom. God is our strength. And for everything that concerns the will of God, we have all of that that belongs to God to be exercised through our lives, as much as it concerns the will of God. But the wisdom and the strength still belong to God. That's why when we come to a place like this and we worship the Lord, and we worship now by exploring His Word together, we are bowing out in favor of God. His wisdom and His strength. What does that do? He gives you total access to all His wisdom and all His strength for everything that He calls you to or asks you to walk through with Him. It's all there. All of it. Not for our use. Not for our glory. Not for our bragging. For His glory. So he called Daniel. He's saying these things to him. I've heard of you. The Spirit of God is in you. The light and understanding and excellent wisdom are found in you. Now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me that they should read the writing and make known to me its interpretation, but they could not give the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of you that you can give interpretations and explain enigmas. Now, if you can read the writing and make known to me its interpretation, you shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around your neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, let your gifts be for yourself and give your rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing to the king and make known to him the interpretation. That makes me think of what Jesus said. Love your enemies and pray for them, for the glory of God, that one day they will not be your enemy anymore. That one day they'll be in heaven. Don't worry about praying for people you don't like going to heaven, because if they get to heaven, you won't recognize them anyway. You'll have to reintroduce yourself because they will not be the same. That's the glory of God. He wants the world to not be the same. To keep perishing year after year after generation. He's trying to interrupt the cycle by showing himself. And situations like this are perfect. Perfect. This young pup of a king, just full of himself. Yeah, you just get good and drunk, Belshazzar, because I got a plan. I got a plan to glorify myself, and maybe other people will get saved. Your life is over. And God can make those calls. So Daniel said, you can keep these things for yourself. O king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar, your father, a kingdom and majesty, glory, and honor. So he starts with a little history lesson. Excuse me, you've forgotten, haven't you? That's another way he could have said that to him. Belshazzar, you've forgotten, haven't you? You've left something very important behind, didn't you? That's why his hip joints were coming unglued and his knees were knocking. Yeah, he'd left something behind. And because of the majesty that he gave him, all peoples, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whomever he wished, he executed. Whomever he wished, he kept alive. Whomever he wished, he set up. And whomever he wished, he put down. And when his heart was lifted up and his spirit was hardened in pride, he was disposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. Then he was driven from the sons of men. His heart was made like the beast and the dwelling, and his dwelling was with the wild donkeys. They fed him with grass like oxen. You imagine eating salad for 7 years? You ladies could do that. Us guys can't do that. And here he was. They fed him grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven till he knew that the Most High God rules in the kingdom of men and appoints over it whomever he chooses. So instead of a nice warm palace with a nice blanket and a nice cool night breeze blowing through, he laid in the grass and slept there where a cow would sleep when they wake up wet in the morning. But you, his son, Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart. There's the point. Right there. That's the deal. Right there. And it caused all this folly and all of your calamity. You did not humble your heart. Always, though, although you knew all of this. Choices. And you have lifted yourself up against the Lord of heaven. They have brought the vessels of his house before you. And you and your lords, your wives, and your concubines have drunk wine from them, and you have praised the gods of silver and gold, bronze and iron, wood and stone. What is that commandment? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. You shall not make any carved image. These things which do not see or hear or know, the God who holds your breath, and the God who holds your breath in his hand, and owns all your ways, you have not glorified. You were able to be king because God put you in that position. What position are you in? You ever think of it as not just your right, but a position that God put you in? You should look at it like that. And who gets glorified in that position? By what means? And how is that for you? Then the fingers of the hand were sent from him, and this writing was written, and this is the inscription that was written, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of each word, Mene. God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. Remember in the last chapter, there were watchers watching Nebuchadnezzar. And I find that fascinating, not just watcher, watchers. I read that scripture and I'm thinking, watchers. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Right back to Genesis, and the Spirit of God moved across the waters. The Holy Spirit was there. A little further on in Genesis, he says, let us make man in our image. What's going on? God's talking to himself. Of course. Watchers. They were watching this guy. God's watching us. Yeah. How are you making out with that? He's not looking to hit you with a big stick. He's watching over you as the best father that maybe you can't imagine. That's him. And so that's meaning God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. You're sitting here drinking and your life is over. It's done. Finished it. Tekel, you have been weighed in the balance and found wanting. Perez, your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Then Belshazzar gave the command and they clothed Daniel with purple and put a chain of gold around his neck. And made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in all the kingdom. So he was just satisfied that he got what the scribbling on the wall was, and so that he just went to bed. That's it. Cost me a bit of gold, give a position, I've got room for a third ruler. He's not above me. He's just kind of in the kingdom. So that's it. That very night, Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, was slain. And Darius the Mede received the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Wow.